1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Let's just share a word, since that seems to be the message that the Lord is bringing tonight. Let's share just a word or two about what the choir was singing about here. And have you all found 1 Thessalonians yet? You can tell I'm not nervous, can't you? You know, you don't know what a joy it is to minister the Word of God to you. And be relaxed and know that it's God that's doing the work. If something like that would have happened 2 years ago, my face would be so red. I'd be so embarrassed because something didn't go just exactly right. Praise God. I'm so glad He set me free. Aren't you? Praise God. Praise the Lord. I think I lost all my pride the day I blew my nose into the live mic. I think all the rest of it went that day. I never heard one that loud as it was that day. I thought, oh my goodness, that's oh, the glory to Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, the Spirit of the Lord seems to be wanting us to think tonight on His coming and on the days in which we're living, that the days are short, and that Paul talks in his word in his letter to Titus about the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope for the Christian? Why is God's Holy Spirit being poured out? What's He doing? Why is He getting the bride ready? Because as they were singing, the bridegroom's coming. Amen. Hey, He's coming. He's coming. And when He comes, bless God, there will be a bride. There's be a bride ready for Him. He's not coming to an empty altar, you see. There's going to be a glorious, spotless, beautiful bride ready for Him. And that bride is His church. Verse number 13. Have you found that yet? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." In other words, those who had died. Now, let me set some background here before we go any further. There was talk in the church, in the New Testament church, particularly this church at Thessalonica, apparently, in that the apostles had taught the converts, had given them the words of Jesus when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to take you unto Myself." And Paul and the rest of the apostles no doubt told the early Christians that Jesus was coming, and He was coming to take them to go with Him to be in glory. But some of them were dying because Jesus hadn't come yet. And some of them had husbands and wives and mothers and fathers who were Christians, and they died and Jesus hadn't come yet. And they were concerned, well, what happens to these people who have already died? They were believing in the promise, but the promise wasn't fulfilled, and they've died and they're planted in the ground. How about them? And how about us? How about me if I die before Jesus comes? What about me and what about the promise? And that's what Paul is writing here. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or which are dead, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, will not precede them, will not go ahead of them. Because he said, this is what's going to happen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul said it doesn't matter whether you're dead or whether you're alive, that when Jesus comes, he will come with a great shout, with the cry of the archangel of God and the great trumpet call. And he said the first thing that will happen is that the graves will open and the dead in Christ, those that were born again in Jesus, will come out of the grave and go to meet Jesus in the air. And he said those of us who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now what does that mean? We talked about the death of a Christian one Sunday evening, and we talked about what happens when a Christian dies. That his reborn human spirit, his eternal spirit, the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, goes to be with Jesus immediately. Paul said, I'm at a strait betwixt two, whether to go and be with Christ or whether to stay here and be with you. There are only two places for the spirit of a Christian to be, and that is either in the body here or with the Lord. There is no holding place in between, only one place to go. We talked about that. But how about those of us who are alive? Paul says that when Jesus comes, we're going to be changed and we're going to be caught up with him and meet him in the clouds. Now, you've heard told of the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. It's not a Bible word, but it is a Bible doctrine. It's a Bible principle. The word rapture literally means to snatch out. And that's what this verse is talking about. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, how's that going to happen? If Jesus were to come tonight, right now, where we're seated here in this auditorium, how would it happen that all of a sudden we would be caught up to be with him in the clouds? When we were running through troops and leaping over walls here, most of you couldn't leap over 12 inches. How's God going to get us in the clouds with Jesus? How's that going to happen? Is he going to say, jump now? And everybody jumps, and the ones that jump high enough make it? No, that's not what's going to happen. Paul dealt with this same subject over in his letter to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter. And if you'll turn over there, I'll show you what he had to say. Beginning to read at the 47th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 47. Paul said, the first man is of the earth, earthy. That's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's Jesus. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. In other words, those that are like Adam are like Adam. Those that are like Jesus are like Jesus. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now that would indicate that there's going to be some kind of a change take place. He said, as we were like the first Adam of the earth, we're going to be like the second Adam of the heavens. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You remember what I told you that word sleep meant in this context? Die. He says, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. We're not all going to go the way of death, but we will have to go the way of change. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, that is this corruptible body, shall have put on an incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Someone told us the other night what a twinkling of an eye was, and it was swift. Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than you can measure, your body and my body will be changed. And it will be changed from a body out of the dust of the earth into a heavenly body. It'll be changed from an earthly one to a heavenly one. Now, what kind of an example do we have from the scripture about that? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. And as he had an earthly body and then a heavenly body after his resurrection, so will our earthly body become a heavenly body. And what do we know about that heavenly body? We know that it never could take on corruption again. It's an incorruptible body. We know that it could move faster than any man could conceive. We know that it could pass through walls and doors without their being open. We know those things about the body that Jesus had. We'll have that same kind of a body. So if Jesus comes tonight, and we who are alive and have not died yet, if we are in Christ Jesus, when Jesus comes, when the trumpet sounds, your body will be changed. Instantly, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, you'll have a brand new body. It will be an eternal heavenly body like the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will rise to meet him in the air. That's the rapture of the church. That's the bridegroom coming to get his bride. They were singing here earlier, here comes the bride, dressed in spotless white, ready for the wedding, you see. Hallelujah. And God is making his bride ready by the Spirit of God, which is being poured out on all of the earth. Now, let me show you something else. Over in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, this is one of the reasons why this outpouring in the last days of the Holy Spirit is so important. It's important not only to bring people into the bride of Christ, so that he has a bride when he comes. But if you look with me here at the 11th verse, we sang this song, I believe, this morning, didn't we? Romans 8:11. Read it aloud with me, please. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, by what power is your body going to be changed from earthly to heavenly, from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal? By what power is your body going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? By the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Word says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you're not born again of the Holy Spirit, you need not think that God's going to take you in the rapture, because the power is not in you to change you, friend. You see, there needs to be a power there to cause your body to be changed. And God says that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to cause that. If you won't allow the Spirit of God to come into your life, if you won't receive the Spirit of Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you won't allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in your life, how can you expect the Holy Spirit out there to change you in here? Now, when Jesus comes, he is not taking away, friend, the visible church. He's taking away his true church. He's not taking away the church that men can see. He's taking the church that he sees. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He knows them that are his. Unfortunately, I think I've said this before, and I say it for effect. There are some churches that could go through the rapture without any noticeable effect on its work or its attendance. Now, that's unfortunate. But the true church of Jesus Christ, when he comes, he's going to take his bride. He'll change us in the twinkling of an eye. We'll not see death, but we'll go to be with him forever and ever 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 and ever. See, without end, without end. You know, there aren't any divorces up there either. It's an eternal contract, bless God. Praise the Lord. To be the bride of Christ forever. That really is what the Holy Spirit is doing today. If you'll, I think one night we shared here out of the book of Genesis how the patriarch Abraham sent his servant back to his homeland to find a bride for his son Isaac. He sent his servant Eleazar back. And we likened that to what God is doing today by his Holy Spirit, that he sent the Holy Spirit forth in the earth to seek out a bride for his son Jesus. Praise God for what he's doing. Praise God for what he's doing. Let's pray just a moment. Father, we want to thank you tonight that you are calling a bride for Jesus. That you're calling a fit queen to reign with him forever and ever. We thank you, our Father, that we are part of that bride. We know that we are because you've given us of your Spirit as the earnest. You've put the engagement ring on our lives of the Holy Spirit. And we know that we belong to you, and when Jesus comes, we have confidence that when he comes, that we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and that we'll be lifted to be with him, to meet him in the clouds. Then shall we be with him forevermore. Father, as we see your Spirit being poured out all over this earth, we want you to know that we're a willing part of your bride to reach out on your behalf and bring others in. We want you to know, Father, that as your Spirit is poured out, that you may use each of us and all of us to minister the truth of this beautiful gospel to men and women that are bound, that you are calling to be part of your son's bride. For we know that the number of the bride is not complete yet. For if it were, that he would have already come to take us. We know, our Father, that every day is precious. And as your Spirit moves among us and inside us, we have an ever-strengthening witness that we're drawing closer and closer and closer to that day. We know that his coming is imminent. You speak to us frequently and tell us that the time is short, that the day is drawing close. Father, our prayer is for those that aren't ready, for those that have not prepared yet to meet him, for those that are not part of the bride. We want to be used by you, Father, to cause your bride to be full, to cause it to be without spot and without blemish, holy and chaste when he comes. For those that you are adding to the number, Father, we bless you and thank you. We praise you as you're moving among us and for the lives that you're touching. We give you all of the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Especially tonight, Father, when we realize how close the time is, how short it is. We're concerned about our families and those that we love deeply in this life. And some have been hard of heart and have resisted your gospel. You've poured your Spirit out as we've asked you and as you promised you would. But some of those that are dearest to us have resisted But we know, Lord, that you are stronger than any resistance. We know that your love overcomes everything. That your love is persistent, continues to press, continues to call, continues to move. And we pray once again tonight, Father, for those that we are believing for to become part of this glorious bride. As the days grow short, Father, we ask you to double it up. Pour out more of your love, especially through us, Father. Allow us to be more open channels of your great love, that it might flow through us to those that we care about, and cause them then, Father, to be brought into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord is adding daily to the church those that are being saved and to his bride. We receive tonight a number of brothers and sisters in Christ by their personal testimony of faith in Jesus as Savior and trust in him as Lord. And as is our custom, I'm going to ask them to come as couples or as families and share a word of testimony with you. The scripture, matter of fact, let's just look at this scripture and see the significance of it. It's Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul's letter to Philemon is in the New Testament, and it's right after Titus. Timothy, Titus, and then Hebrews. It's a very short letter, just one chapter. The sixth verse. This is one reason why it is so important for us to share our testimonies and share our faith in Jesus, what it means to us. That the communication of thy faith, in other words, the declaring of your faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's important, you see, that we have opportunities to communicate our faith, to declare the good things that God has done in our lives. It not only helps us, but also ministers to the people who are receiving. So let me ask, yes, okay. Let me ask, which of you folks would like to come and share a word of testimony first? Who would like to come? Just let me see a hand. You all know who you are. Okay, Gary, you and Diane come. This is Gary and Diane Irons. Stand good and close to the microphone so that you can be heard.
You got that.
You started
it. You got me up here.
Praise God for this Spirit-filled church. Let's see. I guess about a year ago, we were both hooked on drugs. I've been doing drugs for about 10 years. You've been doing them how? 2 years?
Yeah, about 2 years.
About 2 years. There was a death in my family. There was a lot of supernatural happenings that I couldn't explain that I had to start reading the Bible for. So I'd go to bed at night smoking a joint and reading the Bible. Sounds terrible, but that's the way my coming back to the Lord has been. She didn't particularly like it when I went to bed at 9:30 smoking a joint and reading the Bible, but that's the way it was. Slowly, I quit smoking as much and reading more. For some reason, I couldn't understand it. She started following the pace.
I was getting interested in what was going on back there. You know, he was going one way, and I was still... I wasn't going to be left out anyway.
Then we started watching PTL, which is on, used to be on during the week at 10 o'clock. It was a blessing to both of us. We started reading the Bible with them, praying with them, and it was great. We both used to work together, and we lost our jobs at the same time, which is real bad. I recently inherited a house from of my father's, which the notes were twice as much as we're used to paying. We lost the job, and we just gave the whole thing to the Lord. And somehow, he brought us through it. There's so many things that happened, it's hard to remember them all or put them in the correct order. The day she lost her job, we both lost the same day, but she left before I did. I was fired, actually, she quit. She left, she was totally upset, just completely. I was scared she might have a wreck on the way home. She came back to get me that afternoon, and she was smiling and sitting back in the back room, just looked great, you know, just completely relaxed. And I went back there and was talking with her, and I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I finally talked with somebody I've been wanting to talk to for a long time." So I said, "That's great, you know, let me get my tools and things, and we'll go." We went in the car and started pulling off. I said, "Well, who do you talk to, you know?" She said, "Well, I talked to the Lord." I said, "Well, you've really gone over the edge this time, you know." There were so many things that happened. Vic came over and prayed with us. I had done some chemicals, and it had bothered my ears. I had so much pressure on my ears that I had a loud ringing sensation, and I was healed from that through Jesus Christ. So many things have happened. I don't know how to. You go ahead.
We've had so many miracles happening. I believe I've had a healing. I'm claiming it anyway, and I'm supposed to go to have test Friday, and I'll let you know. But I think they'll be surprised. But he has done so much for us. And I tell you, you think you're on a honeymoon now. You know, you get married, and then a couple of years later, you become saved. It's completely different. You're on another honeymoon.
Praise God.
You really are. You don't know how to love till you've got God's love.
Amen.
You know, you really don't know how. And you can love people. And, you know, before then, you can put up with people, but you don't love them. You can't really love them. But God's love is perfect, and you can never know love until you know God.
Amen.
He's done so much for us. We just praise his name every day. He's a beautiful God. He's a loving God, and he'll
answer every one of your prayers.
He has answered so many for us.
Praise God.
Praise God. When I want to share just this, something that really blessed me when I visited with Gary and Diane shortly after they had had their wonderful experience with the Lord, and they had been here at a service or a couple of services, I guess, and they'd never been in a church like this before. And I asked them what they thought. And Diane says, "I really liked it. You know, I want to participate." She says, "I don't want to go and just sit there and watch everybody else worship God. I want to participate. I want to get in on it." You know, I never heard of anybody put it quite like that, but that's the way I feel, don't you? I don't watch somebody else, watch the preacher having all the fun, or the choir, or somebody else. I want to get some of that action too. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay. Who's next? John? Donna? This is John and Donna Brazel. They live next door to Gary and Diane.
Well, I used to be a Baptist. And when I moved to Atlanta about 5 or 6 years ago, I stopped going to churches altogether. And then Gary and Diane, our next door neighbors, they started talking to us about, you know, some of the experiences they just mentioned, and sort of made us think a little bit. So, you know, I would go out and cut grass, and just things start bothering me all the time. You know, it just I knew I had to do something, so we decided to go to church with him one Sunday. And, they gave us a little, told us a little something about it beforehand. You know, you raise your hands and you speak in tongues. We said, okay. So we came here and we really loved it. It's just our kind of church. So after coming to church for about 4 or 5 consecutive weeks, in the meantime, each service that we went to, they seemed like they were always preaching towards me, or Donna, you know, right for me. Every Sunday, I just got more and more what I needed. And then finally, 2 Sundays ago, at night, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there was that was such a wonderful feeling. I just felt so clean inside. It was beautiful. So the next day, Donna called Vic to come over to the house and speak with us and tell us what's going on. You know. By the way, Donna was saved that night as well. And so he came over, and then he told us, you know, there's more. I mean, there he is, you know. He said, there's the Holy Spirit, too. He said, oh, yeah, I'll take some of that, too. So we prayed. By the way, my brother and sister-in-law were at our house as well. And so we had a little church service there at the houses. But anyway, we prayed, and I wanted the Holy Spirit so bad. I felt him, but I did not have the gift of tongues that night. So the next day, by the way, Vic gave us a little pamphlet that taught you how to pray and how you can get the Holy Spirit. So I brought that to work with me. I went to work about 7:30 the next day. And every time I prayed and tried to receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, Satan would jump in and say, oh boy, that's silly, you know. It just kept on and on. So I prayed all the way up to 11:30. And then I just went into tongues. Finally succeeded. And it was just like a new toy. I had I ran outside the building where I work and just started going to town. ever since then, we've been very well blessed. We've had, to say the least, we've had a lot of financial problems. We were, you know, when the house payment's due on the 1st, we would pay on the 15th, this type thing. Through Jesus, we asked Jesus to just take care of the house, the car, everything, our bodies, it's all His. So now we're 2 months ahead on the house note within a very short period. We owed several thousands of dollars on charge cards. We wrote checks for every one of them Friday. They're all paid off. Praise the Lord. We need the Lord to do it, but, you know, a week or 10 days, that's something. we were thinking more like a year or so.
Well, about a couple months ago, I was felt kind of lost. There was something missing in my life and in our marriage, and I was beginning to look elsewhere. And 2 weeks ago, we were saved, and put it in simple terms, the Lord saved our marriage. That's it.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody ask you of anything going on down there at Water of Life, you tell them amen. Come on, Bob. It's amazing what goes on right down here. Praise God. This is Bob and Vera McDonald. I think many of you know McDonald.
Hallelujah. I'm going to let him talk first, because if I get started, I can't stop.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's wonderful. I came down here as a National Vista volunteer, and
just about a year ago this time. And we looked around. Vera and I had a strange courtship, by the way. When we were going together, I was in usher at Catherine Kuhlman meeting, and Vera was singing in the choir. And this was a strange courtship, a lot of people thought, because there was a little difference in Vera and I's ages, and they couldn't understand what was happening. And we couldn't either, but the Spirit has a strange way of doing what the Spirit wants to do. And then when we got down here, things didn't change at all. We went to church. We went around several denominational churches looking for a place, and finally we went to another church, and we couldn't find anything. It just seemed like that maybe we weren't contributing anything or somebody wasn't giving us anything. But one day, after quite some time had passed, we managed to stop in the Water of Life. Mm-hmm. And the first day we were here, we said, "My God, we're home." And we praised God that we did come home.
Amen.
And I have heard the beautiful testimony of my brothers and sisters ahead of us, and there's a slight difference in mine. I was one of these very unfortunate, or fortunate as you will, people who the Lord healed and delivered before I was saved. And that's kind of like getting in the back door, but oh, what a wonderful way it was to go in. I was saved at a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting in Chicago. And I will never forget that night, and I will never forget the joy that went with it. And I also will never forget the fact that had I not have this followed this specific route, just the way the Lord had laid it out, I eventually probably would never have met Vera. So I'm real happy that it worked out that way, and I praise the Lord for it.
Praise the Lord. You know, I also came from a rather unusual background. From very young, I was raised in Jehovah's Witnesses, and I don't know if many of you understand some of the teachings that Jehovah's Witnesses have, but they believe that they're the only true faith in the whole world, and that all other religion is like an empire of false religion known as Babylon. And I was at that time very, very dedicated to what the organization said to do. I even went from house to house 100 hours a month. But the Lord kept me from making any big mistakes. And I truly and sincerely loved God. So He had His own way of bringing me out. I started dreaming. And every night I dream, the Lord would show me two Bibles. He would show me their Bible, which has changed. And He'd show me the King James Version. And He'd show me the scriptures. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd say, "I wonder if that's the way it is." And I happened to have a King James Version in the house. So what I did was I'd run to the Bibles, open them up, and compare. And sure enough, it was exactly like I had dreamed. Well, I was expecting my first child at this time, and I was very ill. And I really had a struggle. So at 7 months, the doctor said, "Well, we're going to have to bring the baby because we don't think you're going to make it, and nor the baby either." So they started inducing, and I died with her. But when I died, I came back to life. Before that, I had an experience with Christ. He spoke to me while I was dead. And He told me that when I came back to life, that I would have a new birth. Well, I never understood. I thought it was the baby at first. And my daughter, He named her also. He had given me a dream of all this happening before it happened. And He gave me my daughter's name, which was Dawn Renee, meaning reborn, new birth, and reawakening. Both names mean the same thing. So at first, that's what I thought it was, because I didn't know the meaning of her name at first. I looked it up. Well, that's exactly what happened. Because I had this experience, the Jehovah's Witnesses told me, either you deny that this is just, this is from God and this was a miracle, or we're going to disfellowship you, kick you out. And I said, "I can't do that." Well, I lost my husband. I say not for good, because I'm believing that the Lord's going to lead him to Christ. And there has been someone, a Christian, following him everywhere he goes. And but I gained the world. I gained everything, because ever since that time, the Lord has blessed me in so many ways. And being a Christian doesn't mean you don't go through trials and have tribulation once in a while. But when you come out of it, you know for sure that you've been on the right track and you've got the right leader and that you're in the right army. And I praise the Lord, and I say it's really a blessing that I've got him in my heart. Amen. And I say praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to see what God's doing in other people's lives, isn't it, huh? Okay, who's next? Renee? This is Renee Hegwood, late of Dallas, Texas, currently of Georgia.
Just this week, Georgia. Most of y'all know my testimony. You know that I was raised in Southern Baptist, the Southern Baptist background. And all my life I had been taught raising your hands and speaking in tongues. It was not a no-no, because it happened back in Jesus' day, but it just was not for today's church. And I said, well, what happened to Paul? When I came to this church, I started asking questions. And I would never have come here had it not been for my aunt and uncle. Most of y'all know them, Jane and Don Brown. And I have to tell you this. The first experience I had with a charismatic church, I had my first job. I think I was a sophomore in high school, and it was during the summer before I would be a junior. And I was working at a little store called Levine's, and it was a little discount store that was owned by Zales Corporation, and then they were in a lot of trouble for back taxes, so they sold us out. And this girl that I worked with, she and her husband went to a charismatic church, and she knew I sang, so she asked me to go sing. So I said, sure. So she told me, I said, you know, fine. So I got all ready for the deal. And she told me, she says, now we believe in raising our hands and speaking in tongues. And I said, you know, I can go along with that. But she didn't tell me. I walked in, and they had this bathtub for a baptismal pool, right? And it's behind the pool. You can see it behind the priest. Got a faucet and everything. No joke. But I walked in, and I sat down, and I sang, and I messed up. And this one lady in the front row was going, oh, Lord, help her. And I was going, oh, Lord, help me. So I sat there. I just finished the song. And I went back and sat down. And where I was sitting basically with the youth group. And I was enjoying it. I was just observing. And I thought, you know, well, I'm at my church. I'm just coming here. This is once. And I heard all this speaking in tongues going around me. And I thought, well, I can accept that, you know. But all of a sudden, I was sitting on the end of the aisle, and this is the aisle, and then there was a lady sitting right here. And she raised her hands and let out the biggest yell. This lady was whooping and hollering, and it scared me. And I said, I am never going to go into a church like that again. And where do you see me now? I mean, you know, I've yet to see a lady yell and jump and scream, but that scared me. But now, I'm glad to say I can raise my hands and I can praise the Lord. And last Thursday night, I received the baptism. So, and I probably wouldn't have gotten this far if it hadn't been for a man named Jerry Earnhardt. And he didn't know I was going to do this. But Robert is a member of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association, and so he took me to a meeting one Saturday night. And at the end of the meeting, Jerry says, well, we're going to have a small invitational type thing. And he kept saying there was a lady in the audience who he felt the Lord was wanting to receive the baptism and was wanting to lead in a special way. And I got this funny feeling inside, but I didn't do nothing about it. I thought, no, that's not me. Well, the meeting was over, and Jerry walks up to me, and he says, young lady, he says, the Lord wants you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I said, oh, Lord. I said, here it comes. Robert and I got engaged that night, but this hadn't happened yet. So I was still, I was supposed to go back to Dallas 2 days later, and I was expecting to go back to Dallas and stay there. But I just praise the Lord. I'm going to go back to Texas this weekend. I have to sing at a friend of mine's wedding. And I'm scheduled. I'm supposed to sing a solo that Sunday morning. And I don't know how to say this. Since I've learned to raise my hands and praise the Lord, it's not enough for me to just stand up and sing. Because I can't explain it. But y'all, most of y'all here have heard the song that I've done called I Will Offer Up a Sacrifice of Praise. And I've done that for this...